Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on, man. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. That's what we rely on over here at CarCast. Man, Carl, it's Matt, the moderator. DeAndrea over there.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. So as people hear this, we're on a cruise right now, enjoying ourselves at sea, entertaining the troops who came on board and decided to take a cruise with us. We will be showing the Willie T doc, Uppity. It'll be the first time people see that documentary.
When you watch that with everybody, are you going to be more focused on reactions? Or are you going to be watching the movie? What's it like for you?
He's going to be having a cocktail.
Yeah.
It's
on a cruise.
I can focus on reactions.
Board shorts.
I have watched that movie a couple of times in front of a couple of people, Lynette and her friend and things like that. The reaction is very strong. They get very emotional and teary at the end and blah, blah, blah. And I think I will be watching the people. I'll be watching the doc and I look forward to, I don't look forward to big things out of that doc. I look forward to a very favorable reaction to that doc. I think it's more moving than any of the other stuff we've done. It's just a more moving story, and I think people are really going to like that doc a lot.
And I like Willie.
Yeah, I like Willie too.
I think he's an interesting guy. I think he's a passionate guy, and it's always, you know, I've only met him a handful of times, but every time is there's something significant. Like, he's always got just emotion or a story or something. So I'm excited about seeing
this. It's gonna be good. Look, the best part about making those docs, it's not making them or paying for them or dealing with them or clearing things or, you know, 1,000 discussions about who will and who won't and what we can use and can't use and all that kinds of. The best part is sitting down and watching them with a group of people and having them respond to it. And I just think it's a very strong piece, and I think people are going to react in a very positive way. So I'm glad to do that. Now, it will not be completely mixed and color corrected and, you know, all the, you know, credits and all that. It's still it's still being locked off, but it'll be very strong. Nick, 28, Cincinnati. Nick?
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey. What's going on?
Hey, doing well. So I have a question for you. I know you just got into the Paul Newman Porsche, and I currently have it's an old 68 Karmann Ghia. And I'm looking to upgrade to, really, my dream car is a 911 or a 912. And I'm actually going to be out in L.A. in January. And so there's several out there. There's a lot more out there than in the Midwest. And I was wondering if you think something like a 912 is a good investment, what to look for when you're looking at them, if you should go to a dealer or a private seller.
Okay. A 912 is an interesting piece because no one previously cared about a 912 because it's a 911 with a four-cylinder engine in it. So it was always like, well, what's a 911 with a four-cylinder engine in it?
But it's plus one more. 912.
Yeah, it's 912. Yeah, I know. It should be.
Bet is pretty much anything vintage in Porsche, you're going to be
good. That's a safe bet. And also, for some reason, the 912s, maybe just because of production numbers, I don't know, popped up. I remember Tanner Faust has one that his dad had.
Yeah, his yellow one. It's got a dent in it.
And it's got a dent in it. And he loves that car. Those cars were previously worth just nothing.
Yeah.
And then about, you know, when the whole Porsche thing popped up 2 years ago, those things popped up pretty fast, too. And as I recall, although Nick will tell us, I recall seeing those 912s. And now they're like 40 or 50 grand. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And it's like,
Nick, what you're looking around. What's the market on those?
Yeah, so I've seen some between, I mean, for really, really nice mint condition, definitely like 40 to 50. But there's also really just good condition between 20 to 30. And just like you said, I mean, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I was kind of toying with the idea. I mean, you could get them for like 15, and I'm kind of kicking myself for waiting, but I figured I shouldn't wait any longer. But I also don't know, do those things cap out? Do they fluctuate? In 10 years, will they be back down to 15?
No, I don't think so.
I think they'll squiggle. They'll go up and down a little bit, but if you look at the chart, it'll go up. And it might go up and down a little bit, but the trajectory is going to be going up. I think it's a good car to get into. I think any of the Porsches are going to be good.
I agree. I mean, I wouldn't go any lower than a 914.6. Although, I think I was reading one of my car magazines, and a 914 non-6, I think, went for 90 grand or something. It was in the paid too much department. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And who knows the story? I don't know if it's just a...
No, it was at an auction.
Something special about the cars.
Yeah. Obviously it was in good shape and single owner, whatever it is, but it was like $92,000 for a 914.6. Yeah. Look, a VW buses are 250 grand. You know, we're living in a weird, air-cooled world right now, my friend. So I would get into the 912. Honestly... If I was buying a Porsche right now and I had a budget, I would get the nicest 911 SC I could find, because I still think they're out there for 30 grand and they look good and they work and they're kind of cool. Yeah. And they're not 60s, they're 70s and even into the 80s. But I would try to get the first year, or I'd try to get a Targa or something, but just a super clean, low mileage, single owner. Like, I'd go find the best SC I could find in the country and pay $40,000 for it, or $36,000 for like the nicest one in the world. And I'd just drive that car and hang on to that car.
Anything that is the special version of it, and this goes without saying, is like you're saying, if you're looking at a bunch of 911s and you find the Targa, and they made fewer than those, then you might want to go in that direction. Or if there's something else kind of special or makes it unique. And by the way, the new car companies are doing this now. This is why they do the Neiman Marcus edition, Aston Martin or whatever. They're always coming up with these different special editions.
I got the new Thunderbird from 2001. It's awesome. Making money hand over fist.
Yeah, making money.
Powder blue, baby. Look
that
out.
One doesn't go toward your net worth.
No, I don't have one of those cars, but that would have been one of those Neiman Marcus. I remember when the Thunderbird came back in like 2002 or whatever, they were selling it.
Give it 5 more years, it shows up for Barrett Jackson for $79,000. Because somebody has one with all wrapped in plastic with paper floor mats, still brand new.
Yeah.
Not even dealer prepped.
So, Nick, we like your idea of your 912. We like my idea of an SC.
You said Porsche, so you're on the right track.
We like the 914.6, sort of.
Yeah, a quick question, too. Are there certain things, I know, and the Ghia is like the poor man's Porsche. That's what I have now. And I know when I was looking at those, there's like always check floor pans, things like that. Are there certain things to look for in those 911s, 912s that you're aware of to really check out first?
Well, obviously, you're right. I mean, obviously, any kind of rust. If they're California cars, rust just is not an issue. But any kind of rust, good. Any kind of, has it been hit? You know, it's their unibodied cars. So did they get hit? What repairs were done? You know.
And that... About the 912, I don't know that car inside and out. I couldn't tell you if it's like, hey, you need to find them that has like the water pump replaced, because that's what's going to go. Like, I don't know what the 912 issue is, but
they don't have a water pump.
You know what I'm saying? But like,
you know what I'm saying.
I know you're saying
that's
they
the
don't have a water
example
pump
ever. it couldn't. Has a water pump been replaced? No, it has not. Okay, then I cannot buy this car. Hold on, sir. It doesn't have. No, I've heard enough.
Nope, I'm out.
I've heard enough.
If it comes with a water pump, then don't buy it.
That's right.
Because then there's an issue with it. But I'm sure there's plenty of forums, and maybe, I don't know, maybe like guys that. Because I was going to ask a Porsche question.
Go to like Pelican Parts or something. And then go look on those forums and see what they got. But I would look for, yeah, the rust-free and not hit, you know, and all that stuff. And then, I don't know, like as far as the motor goes, it's a four-cylinder. Like it's not going to cost that much to rebuild if you have to rebuild it. It four bolts, it drops out. Like, you know, I don't think there's anything that's specific to those cars that doesn't just apply generally to all cars, which is work big to small, but look for that. The main thing is just that unibody car wasn't caved in at some point.
Yeah.
That's what
and the radiator.
Want. And the radiator. You want to flush that. You want to know when the last time the radiator was flushed, and what about the pump and the water pump, and then also you're going to have a thermostat.
Yeah.
You want to make sure it's a new thermostat in there.
Well, of course. Right. I mean, if you're going to do the system, do the system.
Do the whole system.
So the topic of Porsches brings up a question. There's a question for listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We have never gone to Rennsport. Mm-hmm. Everybody says the event is great. And I don't know. We're just not like diehard Porsche people. Love the Porsches. You know, now that you have one, we're starting to hear so much more about the Porsche world, Porsche racing, Porsche history. I want to know more about Rennsport. I want to know, is this the cool event to go to? Why is it the cool event to go to? What are we going to see there? Should we go? Should we bring the 935? Should we do some laps around the track with that thing?
Is that at Laguna Seca?
It's at Laguna Seca. I don't know if it always is. I haven't done the research.
I think it's all
I've
over
never
the place.
Been, so it doesn't move. But I think the next one is in September, which is quite a ways away. But
at Laguna Seca.
But tickets are already on sale, and I haven't looked into like getting a car registered. But as you're listening to this,
it's a big deal.
Let us know. Tweet us or hit me up on Facebook or Instagram and tell me about Rennsport.
I think you need to be there with the new Porsche.
Well, we love Laguna Seca and we love the Porsches and it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, I think Porsche enthusiasts are more enthusiastic than any other make. Any supporters of any other make, and I'm going to try to break this
down. Do you hang out with the Corvette Club guys?
No, I try not to, because I see guys in their early 60s with one stud earring. I mean, it's usually a turn off.
Is it Harrison Ford?
Yeah, boy, I'd like to talk to him. The Corvette guys now. All right, let's try to figure this out. The Corvette guys, like too many Corvette windbreakers, you know, like bomber jackets or too many of those silk Corvette jackets.
Who's worse, dude? Corvette owners? Do Corvette owners dress more like a Corvette, or do Ferrari owners dress more like a Ferrari?
Wow, that's almost a tie. And in my mind, I think Corvette owners dress like Corvettes and Ferrari owners dress like rich douchebags, but not like Ferraris. I mean, they got the shoes and the jackets and they got a lot of stuff.
Horse emblems.
Yeah, it's more Rolex Daytona watches and that weird red suede loafers,
yeah,
with weird truck knobbies, you know, weird
but
knobbies
on the
bottom.
I don't think you need a red hat, red jacket, and red pants all at the same time, and yellow loafers. Like, I don't think you need to wear all of that.
Well, I would say that the Corvette guys literally dress like the car. They wear the silk yellow jacket that has the Corvette stuff emblazed on it, and they get their
George Barris would be so happy.
Yeah, they get their girlfriends to wear it too, or their second and third wives, or whatever it is. Like, those are those guys, and so they just now they're just wearing jeans and Nikes or New Balance or whatever, but they are physically wearing the hat and the jacket. The Ferrari
is that
kind
of like, you know, dressing to see your football team.
Yeah, it's like you're on a team. Yeah, it's like you support a team. Ferrari's team are rich guys. So their tools are cigar, watch, loafers.
The Ferrari Hublot.
No. So you're missing my point here, Matt, for the third time. They're not necessarily wearing Ferrari stuff. They're wearing the costume of rich dude, and that rich dude drives a Ferrari like that. And they do have the jackets, and they got the hats, and they got the stuff. But they're mainly dressed like rich guys who we then assume are owners of Ferraris.
Yeah.
But I think the Corvette guys dress more like Corvette guys. Audi guys don't dress like anything.
No.
Just probably like good frames, you know, on their glasses. Right. It's an Audi guy move. The Ford guys are the Ford guys. The Chevy guys are the Chevy guys. There's the Mopar guys are the Mopar guys. And those are just kind of the, you know, sort of the lunkheads who love all that stuff. And then there's Porsche. And I think those guys are harder core than everyone else. Like, I think they're not about walking around with jackets and hats. They're into, let's get the car on the track. Guys, they're in a weird way, they're attracted to the brand because the brand is a no-frills brand. It's just let's go win and let's be super pragmatic about it. But let's not make that, we don't have to make a bunch of noise. We'll just go win.
Yeah.
And who is attracted to Porsche are like wildly pragmatic guys who want to go drive the car, want to see the car, whatever, but not the big, loud, kashaw
right,
guys.
Right. Except when they're buying their car. Go build any Porsche on their website with the Build It feature, and 30% of the price is just in options. Everything's a la carte on a Porsche. It's phenomenal. You can get model delete, so they cut the badges off. Instead of putting them on. All this great stuff with Porsches. There's so many options with Porsches. And then they have their exclusive whatever thing. You can get all the sort of the custom treatment stuff, pick a color or whatever. But it's great. Like, you go to the website, be like, Porsche Cayman, $69,000. That's amazing. And then $104,000 later, you're like, man, I just put a stereo and some options in the seats and the floor mats.
It's an interesting business model.
Yeah.
And
it's so profitable. Like, I think they're the most profitable per car.
Makes sense. And the it makes sense from a profit standpoint to, instead of just have new model, you just have a platform and people just keep adding onto the platform because you don't have to make a new platform. You just have the platform.
How many different versions of a 911 you think are available right now? There's, you know, between like, there's the two-wheel drive, the four-wheel drive, there's the turbos, the GTs, the Targas. There's 30.
There's the turbos that aren't turbos, but they have turbos.
Yeah.
There's everything. Yeah, I agree. So I think they're the hardest. The least in the car world are probably the Aston Martin guys. They're just like, I wanted something. I'm rich, and I want something other than a Ferrari. So I got this one.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything about
park it next to the Ferrari.
I don't think they care or know to care. I've not really found any, like, hardcore Aston Martin guys.
Yeah, that's true.
They like the, although Paul McCartney.
Maybe a vintage Aston Martin guy?
Paul McCartney's DB5's coming up. When did we figure out that's coming up? You figure that out.
We figured that out.
Soon.
I think that's
going to be the 6th of December? Is it in that sale?
I think it's that one.
I'll tell you about Simply Safe, man. How about it? Getting a good night's sleep? Easier said than done, especially if you hear that noise downstairs or that kitchen window break. What do? In that situation, you turn to Simply Safe. You better get Simply Safe. It's coming up on 2018. You've heard me talk about this for a while. I use it. Matt has it. Gary's got it going now. Mark Gergis has it set up in his place. Mike and Dawson. Simply Safe. It's a complete security arsenal with motion sensors, glass breaking sensors, high definition security cameras, everything you need to keep your family safe. Hop online, order it in minutes. A few days later, shows up at your doorstep. Just open the box, plug it in. You'll have 24/7 protection. No hard wiring, no drilling, no pulling wires, peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. No contracts and hidden fees. It's just the best. It's Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com. Two I's in there. S-I-M-P-L-I. simplysafe.com/Adam3. Adam3. They want to know you heard it here. Get a special 10% off discount. simplysafe.com. Adam and the word 3. All right. We have questions out there, or
Shorty, well, I'm looking at Paul McCartney right now, and it says you can
Paul McCartney's
DB5 estimated sell between 1.6 and 2.
And
when is that coming up? Is that coming up on Bonhams?
Bonhams, yes.
So is that in no? That's not December 6th. That's not it's Phoenix then.
I'm looking for data.
That article didn't say.
It'll say. All right.
Oh, yeah, I have questions as well. So while we're
give me a question.
That up, Jeff. Oh, well, before I ask a question, anybody who wants to write a question to Adam and Matt, just go to carcastshow.com. Fill out.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Now fill out the contact page and then write in the question.
Let me ask you this. I'm looking at the Tesla Roadster. We're talking mm-hmm. about it last week on the show. You know, 0 to 60, 1.9 seconds, fine. I get it. 620-mile range sounds a lot, like a lot. But then I looked over. It's a 250-mile-an-hour top speed.
Yeah.
That seems weird to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing, but I always thought the deal was with electric, you got that 0 to 60 golf cart effect, but then you also got the golf cart effect of no top, you know, you weren't. Wasn't a top end thing.
Yeah.
That 250 number seems dubious.
It seems high, and seems I hope high. They get it.
But, I hope
you
they
know,
get
if
it
you,
too.
If you, like you said, you read the headlines, it's fastest production car. It's okay. Not even in production.
That's not in production.
Don't worry about it, man. I'll be in the tunnels at 250 miles an
yeah,
hour.
In the tunnels at 250.
All right.
All right. Jeff from Virginia writes, hey guys, love the podcast. I share Adam's love for all things Datsun. For me, the grail would be a Z432 or Z432R. Adam, do you have any thoughts on acquiring one of these Datsuns? Just want to know your thoughts because I know you're focused more on the 510, the 280, more road racing variants.
Z432. Is that the right-hand drive Z with the twin cam head on it?
Put up a picture of that. By the way, the Aston Martin is Bonhams December 2nd in London.
Oh, 2nd. Even before,
it's a different auction than the one you're thinking of.
That is upon us.
Of the New York auction.
That is upon us.
And Chris Evans owned it too.
The DJ.
Yes.
Yes.
But he's a radio guy. We did the research. We had this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He is a radio interviewer guy.
Interesting.
He's not a DJ. He's not like a Paul Oakenfold. He's
our DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, our kind of DJ. Yeah.
And a host, like a TV host.
I do kind of remember hearing that. And then I talk myself out of it because I'm like, that guy owns a Ferrari GTO. Like, why?
Yeah.
How do you make so much money not interviewing people, but not doing the DJ stuff that everyone gets wildly overcompensated for because they push a button and then they jump out in front of the stage and they start shaking their hands over
their head. But it was something else. But there was something else that he was involved in as an investor. I forgot what business it was or a production company or real estate. And he bought into something and they sold it and made another $30 million.
I got it. He's UK Top Gear.
Yes,
UK Top Gear. Is that defunct? Is that coming back?
Yeah, I thought they were still doing it with Matt LeBlanc, and he was kind of the lead now.
Chris Harris
and some other people.
I feel the same way around about Top Gear as I sort of do about.
I'm a little behind on the.
I'm a little behind too. Same way I felt about Loveline. Like Loveline now. Is being hosted by Rose. Oh man, DJ Rose. I don't know what to think. The point is this.
Is it Khalid?
Sheikh Khalid is. No, it's the.
Because I don't know what he does.
The chick. But here's my whole point. I did Loveline for a decade and we were number one everywhere and we're a little bit of a sensation. And people would always say to me, What's what's the magic? Like, what's going on? What's the recipe? You know, how are you guys having so much success? All you keep expanding into more markets. You're number one everywhere you're at.
Yeah, TV.
Blah blah blah. We'd have numbers like we'd have these numbers like in like God, I can remember being in going up to like. Oh God, where are the banana slugs from?
Santa Cruz?
Yeah, like Santa Cruz. Like a place like Santa Cruz. And it'd be like, you guys have a 61 share in Santa Cruz. Like when people listen to the radio between 10 and midnight, 6 out of 10 of them are listening to Loveline. Like we'd have these massive, massive numbers everywhere. And then everyone's always saying to me, what do you attribute that to? And I'd go, me, mostly. And then Drew, and then me and Drew.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, seriously. And I'd be like, yeah, me and Drew, mostly me. And then they'd be like, yeah. But it's the format, right? And
right.
I'd go, I don't know, what's the format? I go, Loveline. I go, what's
the
Loveline? It's just me and Drew.
Two guys.
We're just sitting here answering questions on the phone. There's no format. Yeah, it's the thing. And even the people that own the show, paid for the show, had the show, they still thought they could pull me out and plug somebody else in. It's like, hey, we got a format. It's called Loveline. So what do we need you for?
Yeah.
Like, what are we paying you all this money for? And I'm like, because I'm the show, because that's what the show is. And they're like, yeah, we want to go like younger, Latino. We're going to save ourselves a bunch of money. And we're just like, they have no concept. It's weird. I completely understand it if we were talking to some guy who was in the sheet metal, his business was sheet metal, and he was in Missouri, and he made stainless steel flues for commercial restaurants.
Yeah.
But not the people that program the station and actually program Loveline. You'd think they would have some concept over it. And they're just like, no, we'll pull you out. We'll plug in somebody else. And I'm like, okay. And Top Gear is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we have a franchise here. It's called Top Gear. And it's like, no, you have three guys.
Yeah.
And you can call it whatever you want. And they go, we have a franchise called Top Gear. We're going to pull you out. We'll plug in, you know, somebody else knows something about cars. And then we'll keep the franchise rolling. They cannot recreate the franchise. They can't duplicate the franchise. They can't keep the one going.
Yeah.
Because they can't recreate the three guys.
That's right.
And Loveline's the exact same thing. It's like
lack of effort.
They thought they could do Loveline without me, and they could like do it, but it's never going to, it never was. And then it just started to kind of die on the vine. And now it's some rap chick is like doing it or something. And it's just it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know. I didn't even know it was still around.
My only question is how come they don't know what the goddamn show is? It's an insane thing.
All right. Evan's left.
He's left.
Yeah, he cut his contract short.
So he's gone.
But it's still on.
And who hosts it then?
I have Roy Reed, Sabine Schmitz, Matt LeBlanc, Chris Harris.
So Matt's still there.
Yeah.
Wait, Chris Harris. Oh, Chris Harris, the other guy, right.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah.
I just don't know how decision makers make it that far to where they can make that decisions, but with like those kinds of instincts, you know, like, oh, let's just revamp it and just do, you know, just change everything. But like, how do you get to that position?
With that brain?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Amber Rose. Amber Rose?
Amber Rose is on it.
She's dating Sheik Wiz Khalif.
Yeah, she might be, actually.
That could be.
She's nice. I ran into her at Gimmel. But look, here's the thing. I don't know how you get that way. At a certain point, they just offered me less than a third of what Drew was getting paid, and they just wanted me to leave. And I have no idea why you would think that would be a good thing for your franchise, but that's how they think. Now, as far as the Z42 whatever, we saw one of those at Amelia Island.
Yes.
Remember? And it's cool. Let's try to figure out, other than the right-hand drive, what's cool about these cars. And what's cool about the Z4 Z432R And this thing went for about $1.50, right?
Yeah.
At Amelia, maybe $1.65.
Yeah.
It was up there. What's cool about the car, in that it looks exactly like a Z, because it is a Z. I mean, Z platform, Z bumper, Z everything. They put the mirrors up front. Can I say about the mirrors up front when you're doing the American thing and you're taking the car to SEMA? A little fucked out. Like, yeah. Don't quite need the mirrors up front, but okay. It's a twin overhead cam. It's a twin cam motor. That's what makes this car cool. It had a twin overhead cam, and it came with either, I guess, the twin SUs or the triple draft, whatever's, Webers or whatever. I don't know if it ever came with the triple draft, but it's a cool piece. There's no doubt about it. But in my book, it is, and it's a 2-liter, right? Yeah, it came with a triple side draft, probably Solex. So here's my whole thing. The difference between this car.
Yeah, it's twin cam, 4-valve.
2-liter.
And the one at Amelia Island sold for $170,500.
Nice. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Listen to Wiz Khalifa, Sheikh Khalifa here, when I say this. I don't want to buy a car that I could get all day long as a 2.4 single overhead cam, really nice shape for between 20 and 25 grand, like a really clean, between 20 and 30 grand, like just a nice, clean, bone-stock Z car. I don't want to get that car with an engine swap that now has twin cams and is a 2-liter. It's probably making about the same horsepower because it went a 2.4 to
this
a,
one made
to a
160.
2-liter. Well, a little bit more than 150 or whatever the Z. I don't want the exact same car for another 150 grand.
Like, right.
Now, it's a cool car. They didn't make that many of them. I'm sure you'll get your money back. A cool addition to any collection, because it's always going to diversify it, make it like it'll be a little conversation piece. And, you know, when it comes to those Fakakta Toyota 2000s that were almost going for $1 million with the twin cam 2-liter motor, I'd buy this car for $1.50 all day long before I spent $5.50 for one of those cars.
Yeah.
But you're going to drive that thing up and down the street, and everyone's going to go, heck, I've got a clean Z with a black hood.
Yeah.
And he put his mirrors up front.
Right. And I know the price isn't apples to apples, but if you drive the 2000 GT, you drive the Toyota down the street, you don't mistake it for...
That is a good point.
The other little Z.
Justin, 35, Virginia.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Matt. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
Good, man. What's going on?
I'm excited to get to talk to you guys. I see you all the time. It's my first time getting to speak with you. But I just wanted to thank Adam, because you have motivated me to do a frame-off restoration of a 1950 Chevy truck. And it took me over 4 years to get it done, because it was just me doing it. But I sent Chris an email with some attachments. I don't know if he was able to bring them up, but...
Yeah, we're looking at it.
Cool.
I love the bed, by the way. Teak? What is that? Mahogany?
So that's African mahogany. That's right. And that's 12 coats of saltwater marine urethane that I screwed up 3 times in a row, because you're supposed to wet sand in between coats, you know, get it nice and flat, and then put your other coat on.
Yeah.
Luckily, my dad lives on the water, has his own shop with a 4-post lift, and that's where I did the restoration. Luckily, we have a neighbor who refinishes old sailboats.
Oh,
so
wow.
He came over and gave us a hand. It only took us, it took me, you know, 3 months of screwing it up, and finally he came over and showed me how to do it. That was probably the hardest part for me, was finishing that wood, because it's such a different skill. I'm able to weld. I'm able to do some, you know, some moderate body work, and that sort of thing. But when it came to the woodworking, it was a completely different skill.
Well,
to be able to
called,
do the bed wood.
You should have called me, because I don't weld, but I probably could have handled the wood. By the way,
I know you could have.
African mahogany is what Matt calls his dick. I don't know if you know that. Have we talked about that on previous episodes? Yeah. I just said go with mahogany. It's a bridge too far. And he said, no, there's a species. It's called African.
African.
And that's what I'm, I'm naming my wood after.
It was a really, really big tree and super hard, the guy said. So
I know what he's talking about.
Hey, I wanted to.
Before you heap praise on us, we're looking at a picture. It looks amazing. The truck is orange. The mahogany just pops on the bed of that truck. Is that stainless or aluminum you have in between the 1x5 mahogany strips there?
That is stainless, and it's just polished stainless. Because if you like, and you guys know stainless, like there's a bunch of different grades of stainless. So you can get the cheap stainless that around the edges or even around the bolt heads will begin to rust.
Mm-hmm.
But this is by Marquet, and I don't know if you guys know 50 Chevy trucks, but there's a bunch of different companies out there that help you with aftermarket parts. And just like anything else, there's different levels. Well, that's the highest level you can get, and that is without and I shave the bolt heads down, so you shouldn't be able to see any marks at all. If you see some of the older strips will have bolt heads every 8 inches,
mm-hmm.
And those should be smoothed. I smoothed them myself.
Carcastshow.com is where you can go to see pictures of Justin's truck. I love it. And what is the orange?
So that is House of Colors. That's called Sunset Pearl. And mm-hmm. everybody goes with a Tangelo. And that's what you see on a lot of like 69 Camaros, you know, with the racing stripe sort of thing. But
hold on. We have a House of Colors here. It's called Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. That's why I get the big bucks, right, Max Zapata? Come on down. Check it out. A lot of shades. Sorry.
I had to make
a racial joke.
So anyway, that luckily the guys at the paint shop recommended that because that was the second hardest part of the truck was deciding what color to paint it. And I don't like orange on vehicles, but I'm glad they had me do that because
does it have like a pearl or a metallic in it?
It's a pearl, and I had the painter add a little bit of extra pearl. But I thought in the sun, like people had to see it in the sun because in the shade it's just orange. But as you walk by it, it'll flop colors a little bit for you.
And
I
did
can see it. I can see it on tops of the fenders getting a little yellow.
Did you keep the rims oversized? The rims.
So the rims are the same size diameter. Front to back. I just got them a little wider in the rear, which is pretty typical. But I did spacers because I'm anal, really, when it comes down to it. When it comes to stance, you can see the exhaust coming out underneath the back side of that step right in front of the rear tire. So I wanted that stance, when you look at the side of the truck, to have a forward rake by about an inch and a half, which it does.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference in where that wheel sits in that fender, whether it's pushed too far back or too far forward by an inch or two, just looked off. So I got wheel spacers to bring them out to the edges of each fender as far as I could go.
What are they? Are they 15s or 16s or what are they?
They're 16s and they're just smoothies. They call them top caps.
I like them.
I mean, you know.
And you won the Good Guys National Award with it?
So it was at the Southeastern National Show at Concord, North Carolina, like in the middle of Concord, raceway there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Hot Hauler, which isn't like Builder's Choice. Like it was just me. It wasn't a shop with like four dudes that are actually really good at what they do. It was just little old me. So Hot Hauler is like, that's sort of like, hey, the guys like me who do a decent job, we'll give him that award, but there's no way I would ever get, like, the guys who win, like, Builder's Choice at Good Guys are the guys who win at SEMA. Like, there was a C10 that had won at SEMA, like, it was like 2 weeks before out in Vegas last year that was sitting, like, three trucks down from mine. He got Builder's Choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the truck, we've been to Bodie Stroud's shop. Recently, the truck, the vintage truck world, this seems to be the next platform that everyone is building on now. It used to be people do a lot of Mustangs and first, second generation Camaros and things like that.
Yeah.
Corvette's weird because no one does Corvettes or really. There's a couple of 60s Corvettes out there.
Yeah, early Corvettes starting to show up.
But yeah, they're starting to show up. But these trucks, They're all over the place now.
Ring Brothers just did one.
Yeah.
Ring Brothers just did a truck?
Yeah, well, you saw it when they were, Jim was pulling the cover off and his wife was putting the cover back on.
That's right. Because
they didn't unveil it yet.
That's right. Hey, thanks, Justin. I'm glad you got it done. I'm glad we helped motivate you.
Yeah.
Oh, you motivated the shit out of me, man. I mean, if it wasn't for you guys, like, I had two kids during the process. I wrote it in that little email I sent to Chris, but, like, I had two kids in the process of building this truck, and my wife was super pissed, but she was great. She, you know, she stuck with me, and my parents watched the kids while I built the truck. And you were huge, because on my drive from my house to my dad's house, it was about an hour in between. Mm-hmm. So I would do this drive, and I would listen to you, and you just motivated the living shit out of me, man. And I just...
Good. Hey, listen.
So you own like 10% of that truck.
Thanks, Justin. Look, that's what we're here for. There's something about doing a project, finishing a project. There's something that is more important to the human psyche than anything you'll learn in a classroom. The notion of beginning, middle, and end. The notion of I have an idea, and now it's done. You know, it's the best part about doing a documentary, writing a book, building a house, doing a kitchen remod.
Yeah.
You know, it's like at some point you just wake up, or you walk into the kitchen, or you walk into your garage, or your phone rings or whatever, and somebody says, do you want to make a movie? Or do you want to write a book? Or you think, I got to redo this kitchen. Or you think, I got to build this car. I got to do something. It wasn't there before. Now it's there. Now, the question is can you do it?
Right.
And that's the difference between the haves and the have-nots. It's not really the do you think about it. Everyone thinks about it.
Yeah,
hey, I'd like to get my kitchen done. And if you're a Corolla, not this Corolla, but if you're my mom, you talk about doing it for literally like 20 years, but you never do it. And that now it's lose-lose because you're burning calories talking about it and thinking about it, and you can't even do it. And it kind of becomes a testament to your failure. Like, at least my dad would never walk into a kitchen and go, we got to get this kitchen redone. My mom would walk in and go, we got to get this kitchen redone, and then not do it. But my dad would never think, we got to get it done. But also, you get to the end of your life, and my dad's like, I'd love to live close to the beach. And it's like, good luck.
Okay.
You're never going to, you can't. You don't have any money.
Yeah.
You didn't do whatever it is you needed to do to set that up so that you would live close to the beach. So you'd like to, and you're not going to do it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And on that happy note, what do you got?
Geico.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Justin needs it on his truck. Hopefully he's got it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he had a to-do list on that truck, you know. So Geico, everybody's got this to-do list. You know, you drop off your dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and you should save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to pick up or drop off anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, you got to get some car parts, get that project you're working on, that kitchen, that house. Well, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
All right. Look, go to carcastshow.com. I want to see any of the pictures of Justin's truck or any of the stuff we're talking about or whatever we're got going. Chassis, chassy.com. That's going to be your new destination. You know my movies, but the 12 O'Clock Boys, check that out. I love that doc. And
I haven't seen it yet. I got to check it out.
Oh, you should.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating. It's kind of motorsports meets inner city. But I mean, like, I watched that doc 5 years ago and I was endlessly fascinated by it. And then I find out it's sitting around here and I'm like, oh, who got me a copy of this doc I like? Because I just saw it on TV. And it's like, oh, no, you guys have that on chassis.com. So you guys should check that out. Send me a tweet. And tell me, and by the way, you'll get so angry at the parents. All you'll do is want to kill the parents. All right. Go check out CorollaDrinks.com. We got lots of good stuff there. Go to AmCorolla.com. We got Buck Slips and T-shirts, and then Shift and Steer, of course. Listen.
Yeah, thanks.
At Podcast One. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.